Hi, welcome to Lambert Park Church. Our vision is life with God for the world. Our mission is to invite everyone to follow Jesus with us through redemptive community, intentional discipleship, and everyday mission. We're so glad you're here. Stay tuned for the podcast coming right up.
But for the moment, the time that I have this morning, I'm not going to preach. You're going to hear me preach a lot this fall. Next Sunday, we're going to start into a new series, and I'll explain that next week, and that'll guide us through this fall. But today, I want to walk us through something that I do whenever we do a newcomer huddle these days, which, Katie, where are you? You and I need to talk. We need to plan some more newcomer huddles. Hey, it's been a while. My fault. But whenever we do a newcomer huddle in the last few years, instead of taking the group into our mission, vision, and values, because you can read that on the website, and honestly, we sometimes hear that as maybe a newcomer to a church or an oldcomer to a church, and it just feels like a thing on the wall. And so a few years back, I thought, well, how would I describe Lambrick to my neighbor or to a cousin who says, well, tell me what Lambrick's about? And I wanted to press past mission statements, vision statements, though I do actually think ours tell our story well. And I started distilling this thing that I call our everydays. It boils down some of our DNA, some of our culture, the things that we are on about every day. We could have called them maybe our on-abouts, the stuff that we're always on about, whatever. And I hope that as I tell this as briefly as I can, that you, if you're a part of Lambrick, will feel like, oh yeah, that's Lambrick. That's what I love about Lambrick. Or yeah, we need to grow in that. I'll try my best not to linger too long. Kids. Hey kids, can I see some hands if you're a kid? Grant, there you are, awesome. Does anyone have pipe cleaners? Can you hold up your pipe cleaners? I see them. Oh, some of the young adults have them too. Okay, cool, awesome. So I'm gonna be talking about these everydays, okay, I'm calling them, and they're gonna be on the screen, and they're like these big ideas of these things that we're about. And we want to invite you to use that pipe cleaner to create a shape, maybe, that in some way to you represents that big idea. So if I was talking about healing, you might want to make it the shape of a battery. Or I drew this myself. That's like a hand. I tried to do one line, because that's what a pipe cleaner is. That's a hand and then a cast around it. So my wife's the artist, and I'm a pastor, so I can sing, but I can't draw very well, but maybe you can, and that would be so cool. We love to see what you could do, and maybe when you're done, you have a bunch of pipe cleaners, probably, so you could use a different one for each idea or big idea, and if I say one, you're like, I have no idea what to do with that, that's okay, just wait till the next one, or just make something fun. And then move on. And at the end, you might have a collection of symbols, and you want to show them to me. My name is Scott, and I'd love to see them. Or Kenzie, or your neighbor, or your mom and dad, or somebody. I'd love to see them, okay? So you can help us tell the story of today. All right, so let me jump in. Are you with me, friends? Some of you are. Yeah, that's good. Okay, so at the heart of our life, we are deeply passionate about following Jesus. This seems so obvious to say, but sometimes it's not. Sometimes the church has been perceived or experienced as a place that's primarily about just believing all the right things or doing all the right things or getting religious. And I want to say to you, friends, old friends, new friends, your time with us, I hope wherever you go, you find yourself invited into knowing and following Jesus. That is the center of what we're seeking, what God's calling. When Jesus shows up to a bunch of fishermen in the Gospels, Matthew 4:19, which is what that reference is, he says, come, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. He doesn't say, here's just a bunch of things to believe in, then go do your life. Believe them well and strong and hard and lots. He says, come, follow me. Come on a journey with me. Come be with me to learn from me, to live in me, and join in what I'm doing. Christian life involves faith at work, following Jesus. And so we talk about this all the time, and we want to invite you into it. I am not interested in making you religious. I am eager that the gospel would claim your heart, and you would, in the time that you are with us, you would grow into a life that is lived in Jesus. That's what we want for you. And that's what Jesus wants for us. Is that an amen clap? Thanks, Jocelyn. Yeah, yeah. So that's, I hope that as you're with us, that you just encounter that all the time. That's what we're talking about. Second, the whole story. We are a church that is passionate about not just the red letters of the Bible, not just the New Testament, not just prophetic things or the book of Revelation, but the whole story of God. Because Jesus is. Jesus welcomes us into the whole of God's word. Psalm 1 says, blessed are they who do not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law, the revelation of the Lord, and who meditate on it day and night. They're like a tree rooted by water, which whose leaves flourish. Whatever they do prospers. And we're invited to be people who care about what God has revealed about himself through the whole story. We want the whole story of Scripture. We want the whole story of the gospel. So we're a church that's committed to historic Orthodox Christian faith and life and practice. This is what we're about. So over the years that I've been here, 9 and a bit years, we've been in the Gospel of Matthew. We've been in Genesis. We've been in Exodus, a long, lingering study in Exodus. We've been in the story of Abraham. We've been in 1 Peter. We are a church that tends to just pick up the word of God and lean in and say, God, you purpose, this is your intention to make yourself known through this. So would you breathe upon us again through it? Would you open our hearts to your word? And he does. And he does. And in the New Testament, the day of Pentecost, the Spirit comes, fills the followers of Jesus, and then it says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And that first one is the apostles' teaching. All that God has given us of his revelation, we want it. We're committed to it. We do it on our knees. We want to do it in humility. We recognize we're not the first people to have the Spirit, right? We're not the first people to read this. We need to listen and read God's word in conversation with his church down through the centuries. Trusting that he speaks to us and will. Okay, third, all things new. Revelation 21 verse 5 says, behold, Jesus says, behold, I am making all things new. Psalm 24 verse 1 says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And what we're saying here is that God cares about every facet of our lives. And maybe this flows out of the first two. Following Jesus in the whole story is what leads us to all the rest. We are a church that is convinced that God is concerned about every bit of our lives. Thank God. Sometimes people say, oh, why does God care about that? Why does your God care about this? The God that we find in Scripture cares about all of it. He's that good. He seeks and desires to bring his glory and his goodness in every facet of our lives. All the pieces, all the things. All the fears, all the longings, heart, soul, mind, and strength. There's a classic statement of Christian mission that talks about the whole gospel for the whole person, for the whole world. And that's what we're convinced and called to. John Ortberg has this great line, a great Bible teacher of the last generation. Some of us have read his books. He said, God is not interested in your spiritual life. God is simply interested in your life. I'll say that again because I got a few hmms. But it's real. God is not interested in your spiritual life. God is simply interested in your life. Which I think is good news. Yes? Okay, I'm flying. Which means I might be doing this very poorly, but that's okay, I'm trying. The fourth one that we always come back to on about all the time is honest faith. I hope when you talk to friends or neighbors and they say, tell me about Lambrick, this is something that comes to mind. It's something that drew me to Lambrick 9 years ago. I went to this church when I was a kid, from 1977 to 85, when it was just the little cafe over there. And during that time, a pastor came named Tom Cowan, and Tom was here for 21-ish years. And during that time, I think Tom laid a deep commitment to being a church that is devoted to the whole of God's revelation and is really honest, like holds the newspaper in the other hand, just honest about what happens in life and how this story is complicated and how our lives with God are complicated. And so we are seeking to be a church. We're convinced that following Jesus and the whole story invites us to be honest about the ups and the downs, about the complexity of following Jesus and being a Christian, of being human, of faith, honest about the story of the church, where the church has been this beautiful outpost of the kingdom of God, and where the church at times, communities of Christians, people like us, have been oppressive or failed or dramatically missed what this was all about. It's part of what the story of Truth and Reconciliation Day is, for us recognizing the way the church has been a part of the oppression of a people. And we feel called by following Jesus and the whole of Scripture to be honest, and honest about the already and the not yet. What's the scripture I have there? Hebrews 11. I love Hebrews 11. That's the hall of faith, some people would say it. By faith they. And if you read it and are attentive to it, it's such an amazing chapter because half of it says, by faith they were saved by the sword, saved from the sword. By faith they were healed. By faith they were, there's all these stories of rescue and deliverance. And then it says, by faith they suffered. By faith they were not delivered, but they kept their trust in Jesus. It's this honest picture that faith is not just the testimony of those who've been delivered. It's also the testimony of those who have persevered through suffering. Those who have kept faithful to Jesus when the answer never came. Because the cross is sufficient for us in our suffering. Yes? Do you need that? Yeah, I think you do. I do. I don't want a Christianity that isn't honest. Because that's what Scripture invites us into and Jesus does. There's one more verse I could have put on there that is, I think, so powerfully states this. Mark 1:14, it says, after John was put in prison, Jesus went out preaching the gospel. That verse says so much, hey? Because there's this wild tension there. Jesus went out preaching the gospel, announcing the kingdom of God is at hand. And John, someone devoted to God and God's priorities, who's been faithful to God, has just been sent into prison. It's not Jesus went out. I'm moving a lot. Hi, Jaden. Sorry about that. I hope that's okay. You're following me at times. It doesn't say Jesus went out to preach the gospel and John was set free. It says after John was sent to prison, Jesus went out. And that's the reality of the kingdom of God in this day. We live in the already and the not yet. Jesus has come. He has conquered sin and death and the grave on the cross. He offers us forgiveness. He gives us his spirit when we bow in faith to him. And he comes and starts to work in us and reclaim us. And along the way, we continue to groan for the completion of his work. That's what that Romans 8 text is all about. That as we live in Jesus, we still groan. We still say, oh, but what about this? And what about that? In them and in that place and in me. Yeah? Yeah. I'm reading your journal, right? This is mine, at least. I have not taken your journal, in case you're wondering. If you've misplaced it, I did not steal it. Okay, fifth. Something we're about all the time is what I call dirty hands. That in John 20, verse 21, Jesus says to his followers, he says, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. And that is a really helpful invitation, necessary invitation for us. How was Jesus sent? He wasn't sent to just stand off in the clouds and send announcements. He came in person into the mess and the beauty of the world and got his hands dirty with our lives. That's what the stories of the Gospels are. God getting his hands dirty for us, in love for us, willing to. And so that's part of what today is. Some of these ministries that are represented at our ministry fair are ways in which people in this room have said, I feel like God is calling me to get my hands dirty with this, to be willing to step into that place. I was talking with someone not that long ago about, they were talking about their heart, lacking a heart for the poor, for the unhoused, feeling like I only see them as an other or someone I'm uncomfortable with. And we talked about how often that never changes until they become a person with a name, not just an idea, that we pray about at a distance, but a person that we get to know. And I can see that in my life. Those places where I've been willing to step in awkwardly, uncomfortably, God, what do I have to bring here? But with humility to get to know, to care for, to serve, and to receive. And then I start seeing them as people with a complicated story, just like I have a complicated story. There's fun things happening over here. Where am I? I got distracted. That's good. Oh, yeah. Tim Chester and some authors talk about this, and they say that mission is about isn't about a few people for a few weeks doing something in a far-off place. It's about ordinary Christians doing ordinary things with gospel intentionality. This call to live, follow Jesus, and get our hands dirty isn't about just spring break trip with a few people to wherever, though it could involve that. But it's about where you are. It's about where God's put us. It could be across the world, but it also needs to be across the street, maybe across the room. It could be within your own family. Once in a while, someone has come to me as a pastor and said, hey, we need to start serving the broken because we're not doing it. And I have to say, you have no idea. When I look around this room, I see so many people who maybe aren't signed up to be a part of a team somewhere, aren't like on a roster of an organization, but they're caring for a loved one, and it's complicated, and their hands are dirty with gospel work every day. They are loving neighbors and paying attention to that senior citizen next door that has no family that comes by. They are in their life following Jesus, and I love that about you. I love that about so many of you. So when we talk about dirty hands, it's not about somewhere off. It's just right here. We get to be the hands and feet and eyes and shoulders and ears and voice of Jesus. That's what we're called to. Sixth, we are passionate about doing life all together. And that's maybe partly why the kids are in this room. Hey, can I pause here and ask, have any kids, do you have like a symbol you want to hold up? Is anybody, I see one here. I'm not going to ask for explanations, but anybody got them yet? We can ask later. I see some. Yes. Awesome. Cool. Anybody else trying to get? I see back there. Yay. Cool. We got some shapes, some stories. Oh, these are cool. I was Googling yesterday, pipe cleaner shapes, and I'm impressed by what you did because I was not impressed by what I saw. Anyways. Pipe cleaner crafts. That's what I typed, not just shapes. Anyways. Okay. All together. There's something so healthy about, we are convinced that God calls us to grow together and we are a family. That's what the New Testament pictures. We're invited to grow and become a family. That Jesus unites a group of people who wouldn't necessarily be besties, who wouldn't choose to have dinner together. But the gospel unites us and we begin to see one another not just as people with similar affinities, but people who have been captured by Jesus and who are being called by him, and now they're our sister or our brother or our aunt or our uncle in Christ, and we want that. I'm thankful that in our church we have all ages, and there are often groups and places where you might get to gather with some of your people in your stage and age, and that's cool. That's great. It's a gift sometimes to have some like co-conspirators who get what life is like in your skin in this chapter of life, but there's also ways in which we totally need one another across the categories. And if you're here and all you ever do is interact with people who are your age and look like you, shop at the same store, whatever, have the same ethnic heritage, I want to encourage you, broaden your category. I was thinking this morning, how awesome would it be if a whole bunch of you that sit in the back four rows, I'm going to be specific right here, next week, when you come, you sit like interspersed among the young adults, which will displace them around more, and we'll sit in like as a body, not just in age categories, right? I mean, I love this. I love it. And I do. Like, I met a brand new young adult last week. She was her first Sunday. I won't name their name, but they were sitting, and they came 20 minutes early because that's what new people do when they're coming by themselves, right? They come 20 minutes early, 9:40, and they sat over where you are, Richard. They were over there, and I came and sat beside them before 20 minutes before the service. I said, hey, welcome, got their name, heard a bit of their story. I said, just so you know, if you're hoping to connect with other young adults, you should sit here. So they went and they sat over there. But then Rachel was sitting here with a friend early, because you're on the worship team, and there's a moment where I was walking past and Rachel was like looked over and I said, that's her, she's new. And they went over and you pulled her in and it was awesome, I loved it. We need that. So anyways, why was I saying that? We are committed to Acts 2, quote, the day that the Spirit is poured out on the followers of Jesus, Peter gets up and quotes Joel chapter 2 and says, this is what's happening. And he quotes this text that says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. You're young, you're old. Even on my servants, both men and women, I'll pour out my Spirit and they will prophesy. And we want to live in that. And we feel blessed by that. We want to create space as a church to know one another across ages and stages. We want to invite women and men to have voices here, to be heard, to be known. All ages sharing together as a community. So lean into us with us on that. That's probably why we do our soup and bun lunch for everybody, not just as a young adult thing or a 55 to 62 year old meeting or whatever. It's like, it's for us, be a community. So if you're around for a soup and bunch, which we do every first Sunday of the month, sit with someone you don't know or bring your bestie to meet someone else. Okay. Number 7, everyone's invited. This is deep in the heart of the gospel. Let me give you some scripture here because as it says there, this is Jesus everywhere. A few years back, I went and read through the gospel of John and just looked for the word all, whosoever, whoever, anyone, and it's everywhere. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in me, turns to me, will have life eternal. Whoever. John 4:13, John 4:24, John 6:35, John 7:17, John 7:37, and so many more. Jesus says, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture says, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Jesus is our host, and he invites all of us to his table. And so every time we share the Lord's Supper, I say, if you know that you need the mercy and grace of Jesus, you are invited. Amen. Jesus is radically wide in his embrace. Radically wide in his embrace to all of us, to all of us, to all. And he invites us into a way of life that is deeply, radically reoriented around him. So this isn't just a wide gate that goes nowhere. It's a wide gate that invites us into his life. And for every one of us, that was going to mean repentance and turning and renewal and submitting this part of our life and sacrificing that part and putting that down at the cross. Every one of us. The call of Jesus is costly and it's offered to all. To you and to your son or your neighbor, whoever. All right. Which leads us to number 8. Number 8, last one. Parents, say amen. Amen. Okay, sorry. Last one is all hands on deck. Church is not a spectator sport. And this is maybe why I love this Sunday so much. Lambrick is not a spectator sport church. We're not just a teaching venue for someone with a master's degree to dispense the wisdom. That is not what this is. We are a living, breathing body in Christ. That's what the Spirit does. He calls us into himself. He makes us alive. He forms a church. He gifts us all in different ways. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, now to each one, a manifestation of the Spirit has been given for the common good. To every single one that is in Jesus, the Spirit has been given and ways that we uniquely can contribute for the sake of everyone. And we are a church that in our history, back to our founding, come from a movement that are very passionate about this. Our church comes from, would not define ourselves as a Plymouth Brethren church, but we were founded by Plymouth Brethren folk. And if you've never, has anyone never heard of Plymouth Brethren? I'm not talking about Mennonite Brethren, but Plymouth Brethren. You never heard of it? Raise a hand. Yeah, you haven't. A lot of people haven't. A lot of people have. So, but in about the 1820s, most people in the UK were a part of the Church of England, the vast majority of people. Wonderful church that God has used in so many ways. And there's a lot of leadership structure that's very formalized. And there was a movement of people across Ireland and Scotland and England, little pockets, who as they read their Bibles, felt challenged and encouraged that they had a role more in the ministry and the structures of the organization needed to allow that. And they started banding together to learn how to be the priesthood of all people, all called to know God's word and to participate in it. And they started banding together, and then they moved, coalesced down in Plymouth, England, and then they got called Plymouth Brethren, and they spread around the world. And the story is wildly complicated. Some good, some complex. But Jesus has left this DNA in our church with this passion for the body of Christ to be a living body. And I love how Lambrecht's story in this city today and through all the years has not been about just one person or five people, but an active body serving Christ and serving their neighbors and serving one another. In the vineyard movement, John Wimber would always say, everyone gets to play. Everybody gets to join the team. Come, grab a ball. Let's go. Let's do this. Everyone gets to play. You don't have to sit on the bench here. We don't want you to sit on the bench here. Although, we can take turns. All right, so that's the eight everydays. And the rest of this morning is all about us seeing this at work. And I hope that's exactly what this ministry fair will be, because that's what I see. For me, as I read these everydays, I don't go, those aren't just aspirational hopes that I have that one day. I look at Lambrecht today and I feel like I see a lot of those things. When people come to Lambrecht for a month and we do a little newcomer huddle and I say, hey, what do you see in the life of Lambrecht? They often describe those things. Yes! That's so awesome. There's more things we're passionate about, but I think those define a lot of who we are and what we're all about as we seek to follow Jesus here. I've talked very fast, and I apologize to those of you for whom English is not your first language, because sometimes I get excited and I'm too fast. So it's recorded and can be watched again. So in a moment, we're going to flip the room around. And our hope, I have two hopes for this. One is that you will simply be encouraged by what God is doing in and through and among our church. So please don't leave. Even if you have no intention of signing up for anything, I don't care. Stick around and discover what God is doing through the people sitting around you. And second, you might show up at one of these tables, be talking to a leader of something and go, oh, I'd love to be a part of that. And that's awesome. Come and serve. Come grow with us. Luke, jump to the next slide there. I'm going to give you a little sketch of what's going to be in the room. This is not where it's going to be, but these are the kind of things. So a whole bunch of this is going to represent seeking Jesus for others. We have a new ministry called Living Edge. A free food market happens on Wednesdays. We've got teams serving. Hear about that. We have a partnership with Mustard Seed. Once a month, a little huddle of our folks go down to the Mustard Seed downtown and help put a meal together and serve the meal and clean up a meal for a community of folks that live on the streets. Sanctuary Youth Center, can I see some hands? We got some people who work with young people in our city because they're not allowed to be a part of a lot of the adult drop-in communities or others. And so Sanctuary Youth was birthed out of the church in the past, like 25 years ago. Christians, churches came together and said, we need something for teenagers who find themselves on the streets of our city. That's what Sanctuary Youth is. InterVarsity Christian Fellowship and International Student Ministries. Both of these exist primarily to introduce other people to Jesus, and both on the campus. Julia Hood's leading Skate Life Ministry to young people who hang around with skateboards at skate parks and need to know Jesus and need to have a great leader, and that's Julia and her team. We have an ELL, English Language Learners, because it's not second language, because we're the ones that don't know a second language. Most people from other parts of the world, this is like English as a seventh language. So, but it's an awesome way to serve our neighbors. 2 weeks ago, church had ended, and I was standing out there in the commons with one person just talking for a long while. And all of a sudden, an Iranian man walks through the door and says, he had pretty good English, actually, but do you have English learning classes here? Because I'm working and I need my English to be better. Can I learn it here? Yes, we do. Yay, we have people who bring that skill. And we have a team that helps lead us. Okay, I gotta be faster on this. Okay, seeking Jesus with others, discipleship groups, Bible studies, university Christian ministries, young adult groups that happen on the campus, local. First Tuesday prayer, revival worship nights, men's groups, women's groups. There's a monthly women's gathering on Saturday. There's a monthly men's gathering that's starting up on Saturdays once a month. facility team. We have a crew that helps with our gardens. We have a group called the 5 and 2 team that work and help us with capital matters in the capital campaign we did a few years ago. Membership. Wise Ways, we have a child care development center downstairs that loves Jesus and helps introduce kids and families to Jesus. And Lisa, where are you? Lisa Thompson is the executive director. She's here today representing that. Some of you are inquiring with her about being on the council, their advisory council. You can talk to Lisa. We have people who serve in practical things, hospitality. So coffee, making coffee each week. Can we get raised for who made coffee today? Thank you for those that do it. Some of you could not survive a whole service without that coffee. Greeters, communion. We'd love to have some people learn to ush here, to be ushers. If you would like, you have a gift of hospitality and can see with your eyes that there's two chairs there, come and talk to me about ushing. We'd love some people who could ush. Serving with others, kids ministry, youth ministry, young adult community, worship and tech, family care team. We have a group of people who help pay attention for where people are struggling in silence, with their health, with grieving, and we're so thankful for them, and they help triage care in the church. They don't do it all, though they do a lot, but they help triage us to it. And the soup and bun lunch team. Also, we have a couple seasonal events. This is the last one. Women's Christmas Tea is coming up, and so we have a team that does that, and we have a big community outreach we do on Halloween called Treat Street. Yeah. Yeah, so Kenzie, I think at her table, we'll have a thing about that. That's all happening. Those are all things that you could learn about today. So cool. All right, Katie, come up here. Oh, I did my best. Thanks. Thank you.